Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin,
and I'm Ed Short,
and we're glad you're with us here this evening, this April the 28th, 2024. We're here every Sunday evening on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's really a blessing and a pleasure to be here each week, to be in the studio, to be able to open the Word of God, to be able to share it with others, and to be able to hear what the Bible actually says, to read it.
Right, yeah.
And to study it and to learn and to go through these things, it's a true blessing.
You know, I would think the day and the age we live in, with everything going on in the world, that it would cause people to think about things involving eternity.
Yes, you would think so.
About their status for eternity.
Yeah. The closer that we get to our mortality, it seems like we start thinking about those things.
Yeah.
You know, Ed, when I was a young man, when I was in my early 20s, I was invincible in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, I didn't think that I'd ever live to be the age that I am now. And it's just time has gone by so fast.
Right.
And I'm glad that in my late 20s, I'm glad that I recognized my need for Jesus in my life. And I have a Bible study with a number of young people that are in their late 20s and early 30s, and it's thrilling to me to see that generation take an interest.
Yeah.
You know, because they can make a difference in this world by treating people with the same spirit that Christ treated them, in the same vein.
So many people in that age, like you said, beginning their lives and making their own decisions and excited about obtaining things in this world. It's not always popular to think about religious things, about Christ and his Father.
So true. So true. So, you know, friends, this is what this Bible study is all about, is pointing people to Jesus Christ, which ultimately points us to our Heavenly Father, the creator of everything.
So, including us.
Including us.
Yeah.
And so before we get started, let's just talk a little bit. I'd like to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here each and every week. And he shot me a text the other day. And, you know, he's really grateful that we're a part of New Visions Radio.
And we're thankful we're a part of it, too.
I always feel like I think we're more thankful than he is that, he's given us this opportunity to be here.
Who else is going to listen to us?
Yeah, I know that he tunes in and listens,
so
I do know that. But tell us a little bit about this ministry, would you please, Ed?
Sure. Prophecies of Hope is located in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley, beautiful place to live. And we're just a small little ministry. We have a church building. We have an office that's actually a house next door.
Mm-hmm.
And we have services on Wednesday evening for a prayer time, Bible study time. We also meet on Saturday, or the Sabbath of the Bible. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, and we have a church service at 11. And on Sabbath, those things are streamed live.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Bible study, if you want to participate, is available via Zoom, as well as the Wednesday night evening study via Zoom. And Rick and Mary also have a testimony prayer time on every other Mondays.
Yes. It won't be tomorrow. It'll be the following Monday.
Yeah. And that's something you can participate in via Zoom too, if you'd like.
And if they want to, if you want the link and you want to know how to get that information, you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or ed@prophecyhope.com.
If you can't remember our names, we have a general email address, office@prophecyhope.com. And you're welcome to send us a question, send us information if you want to know how to contact us via Zoom. And it's really nice when people tune in through Zoom, because we like to share the scripture reading where people can read.
Right. Participate.
Yeah, they interact. And and sometimes people will have a question.
Or share a text with us.
Yeah, they'll have things that they input that they have, things they've studied about and learned. So on the Sabbath, it's a little more structured because we do stream that live. But on Wednesday nights, it's kind of an open forum. We're topical, but sometimes we'll take a left turn and just completely change the topic, won't we? So that's just a little bit about this ministry. Also, keep in mind that we have a website, and it's called prophecyhope.com. And there are hundreds of sermons on there if you'd like to tune in and check that out. And there are also archived radio programs. If you've missed programs in the past, you can go back and listen to those on the website.
And just so you understand, the website is Prophecy Hope, even though we're called Prophecies of Hope because that's the website we could get.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how many people have domain names. And some people just get them and don't even open them up. They just hang on to them. So I'll tell you what. We're going to begin this study, and we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. Okay. But before we do, Ed, would you pray for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again thankful for your word, the Bible, and for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we consider Christ coming again, and what can we do in our lives to be ready for that, give us wisdom and knowledge from your word. May it not be based on what Mark or myself think, but what your word says. Mm-hmm. So as we open your word today, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we talked about Jesus coming again.
Right.
And how we get ready. Give us a little overview maybe of what can I do? How do I get ready for this time? And what if he doesn't come in my lifetime? That's a good question, too.
Yeah, we still need to be ready.
Yeah.
Because at some point, we're going to take our last breath. Mm. And there's no more changing anything after that. You know, a lot of the text we looked at last week talked about Christ coming as a thief in the night.
Right.
To watch and be ready.
Yeah, I think we talked about the 10 virgins, right? We looked at the flood of Noah's day.
Right.
We talked about being taken or left.
Yes.
Right? So those were some of the topics that we looked at last week. And so where are we headed now?
You know, this is an interesting week that we're in right now. Mm. Because this is this celebration in the Jewish religious system of Passover started this last Monday.
Monday evening
at
sunset.
Yeah, and we'll finish this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, so to put that in perspective, today is the 28th, and so it was the 22nd at sunset on that Monday. That's when Passover began. We actually had a communion that evening. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Yeah, the Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper,
or
yeah.
Some people call it memorial.
Or the Lord's evening meal, the Last Supper.
Uh-huh.
It depends on what church you go to.
Right.
And maybe we can talk about the importance of that and what that does.
Yes.
Where are we going from here?
Well, it really is demonstrating that we need to accept Christ in our life to be ready.
Hmm.
Now, this idea of Passover, you know, I don't know that everyone understands what Passover really is. So maybe we can go to Exodus chapter 12 and look at that.
Sure.
This is a feast that Jesus was celebrating in his time here on earth with all the rest of the nation of Israel. And if we go to Exodus 12, maybe we can just do a brief review by reading verses 21 through 27.
You know, okay, we can do that. Let's see, of chapter 12?
Yes.
I was wondering if it would be good, since it's actually instituted here, did you want to read the whole chapter, or is that too much reading?
Well, I thought, let's start with 21 through 27 and see if that's enough of an overview.
All right. Yeah. Are you reading, or am I reading?
Would you read, please?
Sure. So I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and Exodus chapter 12, and here's what it says. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel on the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For Jehovah will pass through and strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, Jehovah will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which Jehovah will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of Jehovah, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped.
So the setting here, the time frame, is when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt.
Right.
They were under the control of the Egyptians, and they basically were slaves in Egypt.
And they were there for over 400 years, right?
Yes. And what happened, God called Moses.
Right.
And he was using Moses and his brother Aaron to help deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And part of that deliverance occurred because of the 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt to kind of say, if you don't let my people go, this is going to happen.
Right.
And each plague came to fulfillment. And this is a story or account of the last plague.
Right. That's right. That's what happens here, isn't it?
Right. This is the Passover.
Plague. Yeah.
And what God, through Moses, told Pharaoh is, if you don't let my people go, the firstborn of everything in Egypt will die. The firstborn son of the family,
right.
The firstborn of any cattle or sheep or whatever, they will die.
That's right.
And so here in what we just read, God instructed his people, the children of Israel, in order to keep that plague from coming upon themselves, to go through this process of killing a lamb, mm-hmm. to taking the blood, put it on the doorpost, and to partake in terms of eating this lamb and unleavened bread. And this was part of that process where when that plague came upon that Egyptian nation that night, the destroyer passed by the houses with the blood right. on the doorpost.
So what I'm hearing in this account and what I'm hearing you say, Ed, is that the blood of that lamb would save the lives
yes.
of the firstborn.
Yes.
Of the family.
Right.
Right? So I hope that people are listening. The blood of the lamb saved lives.
Yes.
Right? Now, I guess we'll see that as we study this,
we will.
Won't we?
Yeah.
All right.
And so this is what is meant by Passover. And even though Christ came, died for us, was risen again, the Jewish nation of today does not believe in Jesus Christ
right.
in general.
They recognize Passover, yeah. and they know this account very well.
Right. And so they continue to keep that account or that feast of Passover.
Right. But it's already been fulfilled, as I'm sure right. we'll see, won't we?
Not only was this feast to remind them of what God has done in the past, but it was also to point what Jesus would come to
deliverance.
Do. Yes.
Yeah. It's yeah. an amazing thing. So hopefully this makes sense. So to the listener, because remember, it's called Passover because wherever that blood was,
the destroyer passed over.
Over the house and spared the life of yes. the people, because they not only did they obey, but they took the blood, they did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
So it's life-saving blood, and it's showing obedience to
yes.
God. That's all he asked for.
Right.
He just wants us to obey.
That's really what he's looking for in everyone.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, that word obey is not necessarily considered well thought of today yeah, in the world we live
it's
in.
It's a naughty world, and
yeah.
or naughty word in this world. It yeah. really is. People don't like it. They don't like obedience. They don't like submission.
They don't like accountability.
Right. And you know, it's really, when we submit to God and his Son, it's a wonderful thing.
If we could only understand and see that God's commandments, God's way that he intended us to live is for our better good, for our better enjoyment, for joy and happiness in life.
Absolutely.
And the world says, no, that's not right. Do what we want you to do, and all the sin and evil that's in the world.
Sure. It's you know, God's laws are for our protection.
They are.
Much like laws of the land. When I come to a stoplight that's red, I stop, because if I go through it, I could lose my life.
Yeah.
So it's no different. It's no different. And the difference is, when I disobey God, it has eternal consequences.
Yes. Yeah.
And when I obey, it has eternal consequences.
Yes. So let's look at this. When Christ, in his ministry, 3.5 years, was on this earth, mm-hmm. he kept 3 Passovers. Let's look at the last Passover,
okay.
which we can find in Luke chapter 22.
All right, Luke 22.
And I'm going to go ahead and read verses 7 through 13. Sure. And this is going to be the modern King James Version. Luke 22, starting with verse 7. And the day of the unleavened bread came, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat. And they said to him, Where do you desire that we prepare? And he said to them, Behold, when you have entered into the city, you will meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters. And you shall say to the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare there. And they went and found it as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. That's an interesting way to find a place to have a meeting, you know?
It really is.
Go into the city and find a man carrying a pitcher.
You know, yeah, what do you mean? You have to have faith.
Yes.
And you know, you had to know that and trust that this was the right person.
Yeah. And so they followed him to the house. They asked the owner of the house, you know, and you just wonder, did the owner, the master of the house, did he know who Jesus was when they said, the teacher says to you?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it was a furnished room, and it's called an upper room. You've mm-hmm. heard that
yeah.
Expression in religious circles, the upper room experience or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, I have heard that. The Bible says that a number of times.
So let's continue on in Luke. Can you read verses 14 through 23, Mark?
Sure. It says, When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing.
So when you started out in verse 14, it says, He and the 12 apostles, mine says, but disciples, were with him and reclined.
Did I say disciples? It says the apostles.
Okay. Apostles, these 12 are the disciples, 12 disciples
right.
of Jesus Christ.
Just so people know, an apostle is always a disciple, but a disciple is not always an apostle.
Yeah. Jesus had many disciples or many
yes.
people following him. There's an account in the Bible where it says he sent out 70 of his disciples to proclaim
right.
the gospel.
Yeah.
And so the 12 were the closer group that was around him.
Sure.
These 12 men. So here in this upper room where Jesus and his 12 disciples are celebrating the Passover,
mm-hmm.
what day is this?
Well, on the Jews would call the Passover Nisan 14.
Okay.
Now, just for a little background, typically, remember the Jews work on a lunar calendar, and it's a 360-day calendar, not like ours with 365.
Right.
And because we're on the Roman system.
Yes.
So, but the Jews were on the calendar that God gave them, 360 days, and there were actually 12 normal months, and then there was a leap month that would fill in that time. And so typically, Passover is typically the first full moon after spring.
Okay.
So springtime comes, and then you have the full moon. Well, this year in 2024, the full moon came like 2 or 3 days after spring. And it was also a Jewish leap year. So if we would have done it on that full moon, it would have been the month of Second Adar, which is a leap month. So we had it the second time. We just had Passover. We're in that season of Passover.
Right.
The Jews are right now.
It completes this coming Tuesday.
Okay. So in just a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this account here we're looking at is actually the night before Jesus, that night he's arrested.
Yeah, so just to give the perspective, because sometimes we forget these things. Again, we're on the Roman calendar. So on the time as we configure it here in this world today is midnight to midnight.
Right.
At midnight, a new day begins for us. But in Jesus' day, and even the way that the Jews do it, when the sun sets, a new day has begun. When we keep Sabbath,
yes,
we're Sabbath-keeping Christians. At sunset on Friday, it has become Sabbath because it's now what we would call Saturday.
Yeah.
So what happens here, Nisan 14 was actually the day that it was not only the Passover day, but it was the day that Jesus was crucified.
Right.
So when the sun sets, they have this Passover meal. And then all of these things, I'm sure you're going to set this up for us.
So just so people understand that this Last Supper, it's called the Last Supper because this is the Last Supper. Jesus was arrested that evening,
mm-hmm,
what we call evening. It was actually the beginning of the following day.
Right.
And he was put to death the next day. Well, we would consider the next day, but it was that same day.
It was still the same day because of the way the time was reconciled.
Right.
Remember, when the sun sets, the day has ended.
So Jesus, knowing this, in verse 15 of Luke 22, he says, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
Mm.
He knew that he was going to be put to death.
Sure.
And so I think we need to pay attention to what he's telling his disciples here.
Okay.
He's giving them some information just before he knows he's going to die. And so he uses this meal, the food of this meal, to talk about his salvation that he brings to them and to us.
Really, to the world. It's to the whole world.
Yes. Yes.
It?
And he takes the cup and says in verse 17, take this and divide it among yourselves. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Then he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then he goes on in the same way, verse 20, he took the cup, and after having dined, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is being poured out for you. So here we have two symbols in this meal. One is the bread, which he says, this is my body, which is given for you. And he talks about the cup being the new covenant in my blood, being poured out for you. So these two symbols represent what he was about to do. And so he, in verse 19, says, do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
Remind yourselves what this represents.
Sure.
It represents the bread represents his sacrifice, his body that was crucified on the cross.
And the cup?
The blood that was spilled for our sins, but also it points to the life that he wants to live in us, for the life of a being is in its blood.
Absolutely. Every living creature that has blood, that's where the life is.
Yeah. And so he's using this Passover to point forward to the next day, or the next, for us the next day, but for the next morning, the next afternoon, which would represent when he is actually sacrificed on the cross.
Yeah, I think what might help, because this can be really confusing.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, most Christians know and understand that Jesus died on a Friday, and many call it Good Friday. That's what a lot of Christians call that. So he died on a Friday. Well, when the sun set on what we know as Thursday, once the sun went down, it became Friday.
Yeah.
And it would be Friday until sunset on that Friday,
right,
which then it would become the Sabbath day.
Right.
So hopefully you understand. So all of these events that we're talking about here, this Passover was a 24-hour period from sunset to sunset. So this occurred on the same day.
Look at verse 21 of Luke chapter 22.
Okay.
It says, "Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table."
Mm.
That means
Judas was there. Yeah.
He partook of that Last Supper.
He did. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
You know, and then they, in verse 23, they begin to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing, betray Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so this is after, we just read it, after the bread and the cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, Ed, because growing up, I was taught something different than what this verse says.
You know, sometimes we just gloss over with what we're reading. We don't take in the words on the page.
Right.
And it makes a difference to see these little things.
It does.
It gives us information.
And this is too, this is also why we recommend to you to open your Bible with us and read these words so you can see the order even.
I want to look at this account in a couple other Gospels. Can we go to Mark chapter 14?
Sure.
Are you familiar with the book of Mark?
I know a little bit about it. Mark chapter 14.
Yeah, if you could read 22 through 25, Mark.
Sure. Okay, so Mark 14, beginning in verse 22, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many.'" Did you want me to keep going?
25.
"Okay. "Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
So again, Jesus is giving them these symbols of what he is about to do, to lay down his life on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the bread represents his body that was killed for us. And the blood represents the blood of the new covenant, the blood that was shed for us. What is the new covenant, Mark?
You know, Jeremiah actually talks about that.
Can you share that with
us? Sure. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31. It's interesting that this is talked about in the Old Testament.
Yes.
I don't know that a lot of Christians know that. In Jeremiah 31, I'm just going to start in verse 31.
Okay.
It says Jeremiah 31:31, so it should be easy to remember. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Jehovah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people."
So Christ's death and crucifixion, his blood shed on the cross, is the blood of the new covenant, to ratify the new covenant.
Yeah, so that's what you just read in Mark, right?
Yeah.
And then we go back here to Jeremiah, and I want you to notice that it says, it talks about what we read in Exodus 12, about coming out of Egypt.
Yeah.
So we see the relationship from Exodus 12 to Mark chapter, what chapter was that? Chapter 14.
Yeah.
And right in between, Jeremiah 31. It's pointing, taking us from the old to the new.
And what does the new covenant do?
It allows us to be able to keep the commandments of God.
Yeah, because they're written in our hearts and minds.
Yes.
And God is the one that does that through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in verse 25 of Mark 14, he says, I will no more drink of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So Christ is going to be drinking it in the kingdom of God when that comes. Mm.
That's
so
what it says.
Let's go to Matthew 26, and I'm going to be reading verses 26 through 29. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to be starting with verse 26. Again, this is the Modern King James Version. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Mm. So, interesting, in verse 27, he says, drink all of it.
Yeah, that's
like,
what he says.
Take all of Jesus. Take all of this gift that my Father is giving you through me. Sometimes people only want a little bit of Jesus.
Not only do we want all of Jesus, but he's saying here that he's going to be with them again.
Yes, in the kingdom, in my Father's kingdom, yes.
Yeah, it's not just a spiritualized
thing.
It's a literal thing. He's literally going to be there. He's going to be drinking this new product of the vine, right, with them.
As most people online, I'm sure, are aware, there's many different religions and doctrines from different denominations out there. And there's one, Mark, that teaches something different about this service of communion.
Yeah.
So what is different about this belief? Are you aware of what
I'm
talking about?
Yes, I am, because I actually come from that background.
And
what they teach is that it's limited to a certain number of people. And the fact is, it's there for whoever wants to partake. It's there for whoever wants Jesus in their life.
Yeah.
And the problem is, what happens is they actually go to their communion service and they're told, you're not to partake of this. This is only for a special group of people. And, you know, if you do a little bit of study on that, you'll find that there's a group that does that. And those, and I'm not saying that these people are doing this intentionally. I don't think they are. But there's such a thing as a black mass where people worship the devil and they pass up on the blood of Christ. So unknowingly, these Christians are passing up on the blood of Christ that he has given to every person.
It's a free
everyone.
Gift.
Absolutely.
And this is the service of communion or the Last Supper. It not only reminds us of what this gift God has given us through his Son, but it allows us to have a tune-up, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
To recommit ourselves to God and his Son, to re-examine our lives and say, do I need to make some changes? And those changes occur through the power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
We all need adjustments in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, Ed, you're a physical therapist, and sometimes people get their backs out of whack. That's happened to me, and you've had to adjust me.
Right.
So in this world, don't we get knocked around?
Yeah.
To where we need to come back and need more of Christ.
Right. And this idea of not being able to receive Christ because you're not of some particular group.
You should never be told by anyone that this is something you can't do.
Right. And so, in a sense, you're really being separated from the Son of God, separated from his gift that God has given to every one of us.
Yes.
Now, there's another denomination that teaches when you partake of the bread, you're actually partaking of the real body, the flesh of Christ.
Right.
And when you drink of a cup, you're actually drinking the blood of Christ.
Right.
Now, let's look and see what the Bible says about this. Let's go to Hebrews.
Okay. Yeah, that process is called transubstantiation. Yeah. They have a name for it.
And let's go to Hebrews chapter 9.
Okay.
And let's start in verse 22.
Okay, Hebrews 9:22. Are you reading or am I reading?
Could you read, just read to the end of the chapter.
Sure.
It's only a few verses.
All right. It says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these."
So what Paul is doing here is he's comparing the sanctuary in heaven to the earthly sanctuary and its services. In the earthly sanctuary, everything's purified with blood.
Right.
There's no remission of sin without blood. And it's the same in the heavenly sanctuary, only the blood in the heavenly sanctuary is the blood of Jesus.
And God introduced the sanctuary service after he brought the Israelites out of Egypt.
Yes.
So shortly thereafter, what we looked at in Exodus, you will find that information.
All right, let's keep reading here.
Okay, so verse 24, it says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." This is talking about Jesus.
Yes.
"And as it is appointed to men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation."
So these texts tell us that Christ only suffered once.
Yes.
It's not on a weekly basis that he's been crucified and his flesh is given you to eat, his literal flesh is what this church says, or the fruit of the cup is his literal blood. It says this was only done once. If not, he would have had to suffer from the beginning of the world, from
That's
the foundation
right.
of the world, when sin began. And so this once is in the end of the world. I think your Bible said the end of the age.
Mm-hmm.
He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Right.
It's only one time.
Once. And that one sacrifice is sufficient for everyone.
Yes.
And remember again, friends, what we're talking about. This Passover that happened where the lamb was slain and the blood was put on the doorpost saved the lives of those who put faith in that blood that followed the instructions.
Yes.
So here we have an institution that Christ brought forth at the final Passover that he lived on this earth through,
right?
And there he was, and he instituted this communion service for us. So if they were to take the blood, if they didn't take that blood and put it on the doorpost, and they didn't have all the leaven out of the house, they were breaking God's rule.
And
his law.
What does leaven represent?
Sin.
Yes.
It represents sin. So here we have the blood of Jesus Christ, and if I'm passing up, if I'm passing up on the blood of Christ, then how can he pass over?
Right.
You see what
you're,
I'm saying?
You're passing up on that gift.
That's right.
That he's given all of us. The same when it talks about eating his body, the bread representing his body. In the original Passover of the time when the children of Israel were in Egypt, mm-hmm. they were to eat all of that lamb.
Right. That's true.
And the bread was unleavened, representing without sin. Anything that ferments is considered sin. So even today in the Jewish Passover, there's a preparation
mm-hmm.
where they remove anything leaven or that causes fermentation out of the house, out of the home.
Right. And because they understand that leaven represents the sins.
Right.
And so the other thing, you know, we were talking about, something occurred to me, and I kind of lost my thought. You asked me about the group that kind of passes up. Oh, that's the other thing. The church that I was a part of, and many churches have what they call closed communion.
Yeah.
And that's where the dictates of the church tell you that if you're not part of this church,
membership,
yeah, or a member, you're not worthy. But Christ said, all of you.
Yeah.
He didn't say, hey, this is only for you. This is for everyone, whoever wants to come forth, whoever, it didn't matter whether you were in during that Passover time in the Old Testament, whether you were an Egyptian or an Israelite, if you followed those instructions, God was going to preserve you.
Right. And again, we're talking about being ready for Christ coming again.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, this is not the first time that Jesus used the symbols of bread and the fruit of the cup. Let's go to John chapter 6.
All right.
And Mark, if you could please read verses 48 through 57, John chapter 6.
Okay.
48 through 57.
So Jesus starts off here, verse 48. He says, I am the bread of life. You fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Let me start that over.
Okay.
He says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum.
So here we see Jesus using these same symbols, bread. My flesh is food indeed, in verse 55, mm-hmm. and my blood is drink indeed. He who partakes, modern King James, of my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him.
Yeah.
We need to partake of Jesus Christ, to accept this gift of his sacrifice on the cross, accept this gift of his blood, which is the blood of the new covenant, which, you know, involves having God's laws put in our hearts and minds. Mm. It involves God sending the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
So we need to partake.
Yes.
There are people that misrepresent what Jesus intended to happen by saying only certain people can partake. This is meant for everyone. And this is not the literal blood and body of Christ. This just represents what he did on the cross, this gift that God has given us of his Son, where we can have eternal life, forgiveness of sins. We can experience a new life by walking in him, by being in him and him in us.
Amen. You know, this, what he's talking about here too, when he points back to this manna, if they didn't eat that, they were in the desert.
Yeah.
And if they didn't eat it, they would have died.
And this was a miracle that God sent them.
Absolutely. And so they could eat that bread and have life. Well, Jesus is saying, you can eat this bread
and have life.
Eternal. Not like they did, because they ate and eventually they died.
Yes.
But he's saying, you eat this bread and you will never die the second death. You will always have eternal life.
Yes.
It's really beautiful. And I love the correlation he gives between there and here.
Yeah.
Because we already went back to chapter 12. So you can find these manna, this information about the manna in chapter 16 of Exodus.
Yes.
If you'd like to read that for yourself.
Let's turn to John chapter 15. And I want to read verses 1 through 5. Now, just so you know, John chapter 13, and we'll probably get there if we have time,
okay,
is the Gospel of John's account of the Last Supper.
Right.
Chapters 14 of John, chapter 15 of John, chapter 16 of John, chapter 17 of John are all things that Jesus is telling his disciples that evening of the Last Supper.
So all of these chapters, you're saying, took place on that Passover.
Yes, okay. And that evening.
And that also was, this is also, keep in mind, they had this meal that evening, and then we go through the night, and then the next, Jesus was actually tried at night, yeah. And the next morning he was hung on the cross.
Right. And so here in John 15, he's just giving them more information about this idea of accepting him, you know, partaking of the bread, which represents his body crucified on the cross, partaking of the blood, which is the blood shed for remission of sin, the blood of the new covenant,
yes.
The blood, his life that he can now live within us if we allow that. In verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Jesus is just saying, you can't accomplish these things without me. You can't accomplish obedience to my Father and faithfulness to his Father and our Father, his God and our God,
right,
without Jesus Christ.
Sure, that's right. You know, it talks here about producing fruit.
Yes.
So this is really important because Paul also speaks about producing fruit.
Yes.
And if you have a fruit tree in your yard and it's not productive, what good is it?
I mean, so, well, unless that gives you a big lot of shade, fruit trees usually don't get real big real fast anyways.
Right.
You cut it down.
And then to prune it, I have a flower in my window at home, and I cut it back about a month and a half ago. My wife says, oh, that's terrible. I said, no, just give it a few weeks. And right now there are blossoms coming all over it. So it shows that, you know, sometimes we have to be pruned.
Right.
We have to purge out the sin.
Yes.
Right? And how do we do that?
Through Jesus Christ.
That's the only way. I can't do it in myself.
Yeah.
And I have to be attached to him, the vine.
You know, the gift of God is his Son, Jesus Christ. The gift includes the ability to repent, the remission of sin, to turn away from sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own.
No, we can't.
I mean, if you're honest at all about your life and you look back at your life or you examine your current life and you see, I've tried, but I end up falling all the time.
Yeah.
That's why God gave us his Son.
Amen. And, you know, this, for those of you who have listened to this program often, we've looked at Romans 6, 7, and 8, which shows how he helps us. And eventually we'll get there again.
Yeah, you know, Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this fruit.
Okay.
What is this fruit that we can be brought forth in us through the Son of God? You know where we're going, Galatians chapter 5.
Yeah, I had to memorize this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was the first verses my mom ever told me to learn.
Yeah, can you read verses 22 through 25.
Sure. This is Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, so we're talking about the fruit here.
Yeah, and the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Who also brings us in contact with his Father.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We can't have the Father without the Son.
No.
Right? So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
So this is the fruit that Jesus is talking about in John 15. Mm. that he wants to bring forth in us. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy. And love is not this sappy love that of the world today, or the lust of the world today. It's a true concern for others.
Yes.
Joy, peace, long-suffering. Yeah. Long-suffering.
Yeah.
Goes along with patience, the next one.
It does.
Goodness, faith, meekness, self-control.
Yeah.
And you can see these things. There's no law against doing these things.
Right. And self-control is something today that is really lacking.
Yeah.
Most of these. I mean, love. You know, people claim to love, but what other fruitage does it bear?
Right.
You know, if I say I love somebody, but I'm doing something against God's law, that's not really love.
That doesn't lead to righteousness.
That's
right. A right way of living.
That's right.
So there's, in this chapter of Galatians chapter 5, there's another type of spirit listed before this.
Yes, there is.
Is it what, verse 15, 16, somewhere in there?
It starts in verse 16.
Okay.
It says, and this is Galatians 5, 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You said that earlier.
Yeah.
And so, listen to this contrast, because I'm going to read all the way through again, okay? Just so people can get the sense of this. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, you don't come under the penalty of the law if we're doing the things of righteousness.
Because there's no law against doing those things.
Absolutely. So it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
So is the law of God done away with, as many people say?
No, these are all against the law of God.
Yeah.
And remember when we were talking about the communion service, he says, I want to do this with you again in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So if we're doing these things, how can we be in the kingdom of God? Because it says we won't inherit it.
Right.
But he doesn't stop there. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that's saying that I get rid of all of those things by His Spirit. That's why it says in the next verse, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
So we're told not to walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh produces these items you just talked about.
Yes.
Let's be real about life. We've all experienced these issues with walking in the flesh.
I know I have.
Let me share 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11.
1 Corinthians 6. And you know, Ed, these things still crop up in my life sometimes.
Yeah. And that's why we need to renew our relationship with Christ. We need to continue to partake in Christ. Let Him give Him the benefits of His life living in us. Mm. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you.
Wow. They had to
put
it away.
You are washed, but you've been sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So I want to make this clear, Ed. When I read this, when a lot of Christians that read this and they say, such were some of you, you were washed, you have been justified, that means that if I did those things, it's in my past.
Yes.
I'm no longer doing those things.
And you've been changed by the blood and body of Christ and His life that He now wants to live with you. I can't do it on my own. I know that.
Right. And so think about what we're saying, friends. So many Christians, I have dear Christian friends that believe they can continue living a lifestyle of sin and Jesus has my back. But he makes it clear here that if you continue in these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Don't abuse the gift of God by partaking of it, receiving forgiveness, and then continuing in the same sin.
Right.
We need to repent. We need to turn away from sin through the power of a living Christ in us.
Mm. That's a beautiful thing. You know, go ahead.
You know, this is what this communion service, Last Supper, is all about, to remind us of the gift of God. Jesus wants us to remember these things, the power that's available to us if we so choose through the Son of God.
It's available now.
Yes, right to now, everyone.
To every person. If you decide that you want to do this, you can do it by yourself if you have to. You can find a group. If you want to participate with us, you know, we're happy to do that with you, even if it's on Zoom.
Right.
You know, we will take the time to do this. And it's a beautiful occasion, and it's a solemn yet joyous occasion.
Yes.
It really is. It's
peaceful.
It is, and it's sacred.
Yes.
And really, understanding and knowing what God went through back then, and what he went through, when I say back then, in Exodus, how he protected his people.
Right.
He's still doing that today.
Yeah, through his Son.
He's still doing it today. And and the thing is, if we continue in sin, then it's almost like we're crucifying Christ all over again.
Right.
So we have to lay that down. Ed, we have a little less than a minute. Did you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah. Oftentimes people may think, well, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Who is?
Yeah, none of us.
Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now is the time to accept this gift he's given you. Yeah. There's no requirements. There's no prerequisites.
Right. You know, I hate to stop us, but we have to pray. Maybe we'll pick up here again next week. Okay. We'll pick up where we left off. So let's bow our heads for prayer, friends. Father in heaven, what a wonderful gift you've given us in your Son. We thank you for allowing us to be able to reflect on these accounts. Help us to keep these things in mind this week and until we come together again. Father, we ask for your Spirit to fill us. We just ask that you will help us to overcome the things that we need to overcome by sending the Spirit of Christ into our hearts. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ed, for helping us with this. And we'll pick up again here next week, friends. And we hope you'll tune in next week right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.